Hello.
Welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons.
No, we talk about that too. Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're ready for me to say everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
I was, and that's part of my disclaimer. I don't always listen.
Am I my brother's keeper?
Right.
Actually,
so this podcast,
right?
we discuss our political views, and we are not encouraging people to overthrow Walmart, McDonald's, Uncle Sam, or any other franchise.
Tyrannical de facto government.
Right.
Just do like we do and unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. Yeah, I'm not subscribed to it.
Let's see here. Disclaimer. We can play it and then we can review it. We need to actually work on that a little bit more.
We do. Part of it's this podcast is only meant for humans, for mankind who are not animals.
Animal.
Who are made in the image of their loving Father in heaven with inalienable rights granted by him. If you're an animal, please go listen to something else.
Meow.
Meow. Yeah, this podcast is not meant for you.
Entertainment purposes. Do what?
Yeah, I hear the voice in the background. So you're using text
is for educational and / for entertainment purposes only.
Do what?
Yeah. Go ahead and play that.
Huh?
This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Pray on others as you would want them to pray on you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals. We are not man-animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
I love that last part. So
please tell your human about us.
Yeah. We practice God's medicine, not man-ass medicine.
Yep, yep.
Gotta fix that. It's supposed to be man's medicine. I should just take out the S, man medicine. No, man's medicine. Yeah, that's all right. I just need to take out the apostrophe when I do have the computer reading. Yes!
All right.
We are medicine men. Sort of. We're like medicine boys.
We're medical free radicals.
Medical free radicals! Yeah!
Yeah, I was listening to Eustace Mullen today. He just sues left and right. He just sues left and right. He got a $35 million judgment against the IRS and the FBI. And then he followed it up for conspiracy. And then he followed it up and got a 50... What is it? He got 35 the first time. I think he got a $50 million judgment the second time. And he hasn't bothered to collect it yet. He just keeps refreshing it every year to let them know that he's still there. Got that hanging over their head.
Nice.
It's worth it to him to just keep it in place. Anyway.
But yeah, because if he collects it, then he's collecting it from his neighbor.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But he pointed out some things. If you sue a lawyer, it doubles the lawyer's insurance until the lawsuit's over.
Okay.
And if you sue them, and you're on the attack, you're the one that gets to say when it's done. And so you can keep them going for years and years and years and years. And it ties them up. And if you're doing it yourself without a lawyer, it really doesn't cost you any more than your filing fee. And... you know, you can keep filing new stuff against him, and all you have to do is pay that initial filing fee. You only have to pay it once. So you can keep entering new stuff in every year, every month, every week, and he's got to answer to it. Or he defaults, and you win. That's screwy, but... kind of fascinating. Now, it's all hearsay. I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, along with that, he says they're all part of the Masonic Order, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So. Curiouser and curiouser. You still there? Do I have to monologue? I don't hear you. Are you there? Are you still there? Question mark. Can answer that and see if Kano's still there because he's not answering. So I got a monologue. All right, I'm sort of prepared for that. Give me a second. I got something to read. Okay, I guess I have to read this slide in small text. Okay, this article my computer is not being nice to me. Mainly because it's not a computer. Anyway, This article is written March 19th on Sunday. Hey, I hear somebody. Is that you by any chance, Kano?
Yeah, that Text Now app, I don't know what happened, but I lost whatever. But my grandmother has unlimited long distance on her landline, and so I figured I'd try calling on the landline. Boom, no extra charges.
Well, the landline actually sounds better, but you can't automate the call, can you?
Do what?
You can't automate that call, though, can you?
Oh, you mean with the commas or the pauses?
Yeah.
No. So I have to actually look at my...
Everything's all manual. That's a...
That's not...
That's a witch.
I just had to look into my my contact list in my phone to make sure I was dialing the right extension to get into the podcast.
There you go.
Boom,
all right, well, up. I was about to monologue. I have an article I'll read to people later. So I was going to talk about the text now. Did you, by any chance, do your confirmation email yet?
Confirmation email for what?
For text now.
On my... Oh, no.
Yeah,
maybe
see, I tried to do it twice, and it, for whatever reason, it's not sending it to me. It's not even ending up in the spam folder.
Weird.
So, I don't know. Apparently,
well,
TextNow is a full-fledged phone service.
Well, and I was able to call the podcast with it without it charging me, you know, saying, you know, whatever, for free.
Right. So, you know, you can get a phone and sign up for TextNow with it. I don't know what the coverage is. But
free.
It might be worthwhile to go to the web. Well, it's not exactly free. You got that would be an actual pay service if you had a real phone attached to it.
Oh, right. Well, we do have real phones attached to it.
Through an app.
Through an app, yeah.
Which, you know, boggles my mind because you're tying up a phone number. Are you still there?
Yeah, that was my TextNow app log dropping the call finally.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't even do that when you disappeared.
I know. Yeah, just now did it.
Yeah, it there was no sound whatsoever. It's just you weren't answering me anymore. So I was like, oh, I got a monologue. I'm prepared, though.
I got
stuff.
When I called back in, it said there was two participants.
Ah, okay.
Very interesting.
Okay, so we're still recording just because because there's two of us. Good. Excellent.
Yay for the retarded kid.
So, you've been suffering headaches?
Well, it's not that.
Right.
It's my job.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Everything was going great, you know, till I basically... I got to figure out how to reword the terminology where it makes sense. booked my second client, if you will.
Yes.
I was going around knocking on doors, you know, because I'm a storm chaser now. Actually, my boss is a storm chaser. I'm a storm follower. And
right.
I just go where he tells me to go. So I'm knocking on doors, promoting our business, and I'm actually getting better at memorizing all the stuff I got to say. But the first day with my supervisor, we booked my first client. Second day, I was on my own. I was like, whoa, you know. But
yeah.
He just happened to be there. Well, not happened to be there. He just happened to be on his way when I was booking my second client.
Right.
So he helped me file the claim and all that stuff because I didn't really know how to do it.
Right.
But he helped me walk the customer through everything.
Okay.
And the nice thing was is I recorded the whole thing so that I could, you know, for training purposes, so I could listen
right.
to it and practice, you know, what he was doing. Well, during the whole thing, the customer asked us what our Better Business Bureau rating was.
Oh.
And I didn't know the answer to that question. Because when I did my homework on the company, I was looking at the employee side. I didn't
right.
even think to look at the customer side. So I was just looking at all the employee reviews, you know. And there were some positives and negatives. It was about 50-50, really. But there was only one complaint that I actually considered a negative review. And
from the employee side.
Actually, that was on the customer side. There was only, I think there was only one complaint on the customer side through this employee type website. Because basically, I put my resume in with Indeed. And, oh no, I was actually looking at employee reviews with Indeed, okay? And, then it asked me to put in my resume, so I did. And then I put in a review about Coal City Cobb. but anyways, I that was where I saw these reviews, you know, where you put in an application type of thing.
Right.
And that was basically where I was looking. I was looking from an employee aspect. And so, but a customer actually posted a review, and they were unsatisfied because one of the sales reps,
right.
me, you know, someone in my position, she told him that she did not want him to inspect her roof, and he did it anyways.
Ah,
you know?
That's not
but
good.
That was back, right, that was back whenever we were climbing on roofs with, you know, we had ladders and we were climbing on roofs. The new policy is we're not climbing on roofs anymore until the insurance adjuster comes out, and then we go on the roof with the adjuster because that way the insurance company can't blame us saying, oh, well, you screwed up the roof. We're climbing on the roof.
Right.
So now we don't go on the roof until the insurance company's there to witness us being on the roof. So anyways, and then we have video cameras, and we're supposed to videotape things. So we videotaped the first inspection, or we have the camera. We can or cannot videotape the first inspection, but, you know, that's what it's there for. But the video is so we can zoom in to the roof and look at, you know, details on the roof. You can't see all the details, but you can see if it's bad or not. If it's too bad where you can't see it, I mean, if it's not bad enough where you can't tell on video, it's probably not bad enough, period. You
okay.
know? I mean, one guy jumped on me because he's like, well, you don't get on the roof, you don't do a very good job, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he was a roofer. And it's like, well, you know,
your response is you're right, but we can, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, and I told him the reason was, and then he went into the whole bureaucrat thing, which we both agreed on.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but that's not the point. So the point is, I was there doing the deal, and he asked what our rating was, and I didn't know the answer, but I knew an answer. So I gave him the answer that, you know, I did some homework on the company prior to coming to work here, and out of all the reviews that I saw, I only saw one review that I considered to be negative. Then my supervisor piped up and said, well, the company has taken care of all of any issues, 100% of all of any issues, which to me sounded a little odd, because how can you take care of 100% of any and all issues?
Well, actually, Better Business Bureau gives you the opportunity to do that.
Well,
you know,
okay.
If you get a complaint, you know, Better Business Bureau we'll record the fact that you followed up on the complaint and resolved it.
Or are attempting to resolve it.
Yeah, that too. You know, and so they might have so few claims that they can handle 100% of them. And that's important.
True, because there's only 88 reviews on Better Business Bureau, and apparently they do like 11,000 roofs a year.
There you go.
So out of 11,000 per year since Y2K, because they've been in business since Y2K, so for 17 years they've only had 8 Better Business Bureau complaints, or 88, not complaints, reviews. 2/3 of them were bad. So 2/3 of 88 would be, let's see, 44, 60, about 50 negatives. You know, so out of 11,000 roofs a year, so that would be, we'll just round it down to 10. So out of 1 million, no wait, out of 170,000 roofs, actually more than that, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, no, about that right, yeah. So out of 170,000 roofs, they only had 50 complaints. That's not bad.
I can give you a percentage if you give me the numbers again.
It's less than 1%.
Yeah. So,
and actually, I didn't even think about that till just now. So that actually makes me feel even better. But anyways, but in 2 days later, I didn't actually go to the Better Business Bureau site until the evening of St. Patrick's Day.
Ah.
So, which also brings me to the point, it's another rabbit hole, but, you know, a lot of people here in the U.S. go out and party and get drunk on St. Patrick's Day.
Which, yeah, I know where you're going. We'll get back to that.
It's not what it's all about. St. Patrick was a rich kid, and he got kidnapped and thrown into slavery. And I may have some details off, but basically, this is the gist of the story. Many years later, he escaped and finally worked his way back to Ireland. And when he got home, he became a priest, a Catholic priest, and because that's the main religion in Ireland anyways. He became a priest. And, you know, he did a lot of good works for Ireland, for the people. And when he did finally pass away, they made a holiday and celebration of him, in honor of him and everything that he's done. In Ireland, all the bars are closed on St. Patrick's Day. But over here, we got it backwards.
They're all open.
They're all open. You know, and everybody's getting drunk and doing the things that
break
St. Patrick would not.
Break your green
beer! Right? They're doing all the things that St. Patrick would not approve of. So they're over here we dishonor St. Patrick.
Sort of
but anyways.
Like, yeah, the restaurant that Joe took me to where they're all dressed in black and green, barely.
Barely.
Not
where you met your future
green,
wife.
Just barely dressed.
Where you met your future wife who wants 10 kids just like you.
Yeah, actually, Joe put a claim on that place of that's not the way they were dressed the last time we were there. So I did a little research and looked up that restaurant and in that particular community. It seems there's a lot of local complaints about it because it's the center of prostitution in that town.
Oh, nice.
And they had lots of photos of the waitresses on their site, and yeah, they normally dress that way.
Right. Yeah, no comment. Joe doesn't actually live up to his image that he portrays.
Yeah, well, you know, but he does talk to a lot of people. He's good at
that.
Yeah,
he does.
He might
has
know
a Leo ascendant.
Him, but he's good at talking to them.
Yeah, I think he has a Leo ascendant, so he's very, very much sensitive about how he appears.
Yeah, he showed that picture around. David Powers.
Yeah, I did.
It looked to me like you were having fun. It's like, well, that's a smile of embarrassment.
Yeah, I could tell that. Anybody who knew you could tell you were not really embarrassed, being bashful. You were being bashful.
It's like the only reason she put her arm around me is because, you know, he asked her to. It's like,
well,
no,
yeah, and she was the waitress. She was the waitress. She was being hospitable.
That said, actually, she was a pretty good waitress considering the nature of the job. Most of the waitresses I observed were not really good waitresses. They were there to be seen. And
right, so they were probably just prostitutes.
And they were there to have their pictures taken and stuff like that and basically keep the customers happy, which is a waitress's job, but they were busy keeping them happy in ways that...
were inappropriate?
Yeah. Not to the point where, you know, the police could come in and knock on their door and say, hey, this is obviously a strip club, you know, we're shutting you down. But there's no lap dances going on or anything like that. They were serving food.
So it was very borderline.
The food was good. I don't think it was $25 a plate good, but it was good.
Ouch.
Yeah, he spent $50 there. And it's like, I'm going to have to corner him. And tell them, you know, Joe, if you take me to a place like that and I don't balk, you're going to assume I'm enjoying myself. So you're telling me that I need to balk and complain?
Yeah, basically.
You know? Or you're not going to, or you're going to quote-unquote talk to me? Anyway, he did hold up a reasonable conversation with her, with the girl. She wasn't as scantily dressed as the rest of them were, but I have to admit, I had a hard time keeping my eyeballs off the tidbits and stuff that were, you know, whatever. I gave her our card because, you know, we talked about some health stuff, and I said if she wanted no more, she could call the number. I didn't specify which one was which. So you might get a call from her. I believe her name's Alexis. There's another one who took our card, just walked up and goes, oh, what's this? Looked at the card, and you know, so I explained it to her as best I could, and she said, great. Took the card. Might get a random call from someone who I don't even know her name.
There you go. Might be your future wife.
Maybe, but...
I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, you know, maybe her friend or her sister might be your future wife.
Hey, you know, any woman who demonstrates that they're interested in going down the straight and narrow and demonstrate that they're trying, you know, that's a qualification.
Well, yeah, like Mary Magdalene. Go and sin no more.
Yeah, that's a confusion. That wasn't Mary, but I don't think that was Mary Magdalene.
Oh, okay. Or
right,
it was
that,
a different...
That might not have even been a Mary.
True.
That was just a woman caught in the act. And if you read through the law, they broke the law by bringing her by herself.
They what?
They who brought her to Jesus, broke the law by bringing just her.
Because it's supposed to be her and her
yep. So both of them.
No, but okay, yeah, no, that's okay. I'm sorry, I'm confusing two different stories.
Well, yeah, they often say Mary Magdalene was a prostitute because that kind of, you know, puts a dim light on her. All right. There's indication that Mary Magdalene may have been his fiance, and, you know, there's some stories that after he came down off the cross, he ran off and married her and had lots of kids and produced a certain royal line here on the planet.
So he died and came back and married and disappeared and had kids.
Yeah, which wouldn't fit in with the Mormons who say he went over to North America, but North and South America, but yeah.
Well, you never know. He might have. He might have came into the U.S. and that's how he hid from all the free radicals.
Hey, and think of the honeymoon they would have because of all the planets he'd have to go to visit and let them know they're also safe.
Right. But did he have to die on all those planets too?
You know, I don't think so. I think the one time was good enough. Anyway, we've got serious rabbit holes. So back to Better Business Bureau.
Better Business Bureau. So yeah. So I looked him up. St. Patty's Day. After work, because I worked all that day. And the reviews, I couldn't even finish reading them. They made me cry. I couldn't finish reading them. They were bad. And so I've had that on my conscience for 2 days.
Ah.
And I've been really depressed about it.
And
but I talked to... Huh?
And thus the headache.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really have any headaches. I was just saying that I'm dealing with my head, you know, because I was depressed. It wasn't a headache. It was depression. I was going into a depression because I was like,
right.
You know, I got off the road to help my mom with my grandmother so I could be here to grow healthy food and take care of grandma. And, you know, all this stuff. I made all these sacrifices. And I thought I had a good job that was going to take care of everything. And then I find out through this Better Business Bureau review, it appears as if they are acting as if they were a fly-by-night operation.
For 16 you know? Years. 17 now.
Right, they're not a fly-by-night operation, but according
right.
to the reviews, they act as one. But now that I think about it, out of 170,000 jobs, they only had 50 negative reviews on Better Business Bureau, which that's probably more like 500. But still, out of 500... bad jobs, I mean, out of 170,000 jobs, only say 500 of them were bad jobs. That's still really not a bad statistic.
Right. But you
yeah,
need
but
a solid number. And, you know, as your boss said, all complaints are being handled or have been, you know, been handled.
Right.
It's not like people go after they give a bad review, go back and fix them after the complaint has been satisfied.
That's true too.
You know. So.
Yeah, I thought about that too today. I didn't think about that before
today. I'm one of the oddballs. I go on Google Play and I'll complain about a piece of software, and then after they fix it, I go in and change the review.
Right, which is what people should do. I mean, if I, you know, I pretty much do the same thing. That or I'll go delete my review.
Right. Most people at Better Business Bureau probably don't do that. It's like they have the energy to complain. They don't have the energy to praise. Or accept, you know.
Right. And there were one-third of the reviews were good. And one of them actually said that they were creating a good review because there's not enough of them on the Better Business Bureau site.
Right.
Because more people tend to complain than to praise. And so he or she actually said that on his or her review.
Oh, excellent.
And so, yeah. So, and that, you know, I converted it to audio, and I've been listening to it. I'm about an hour and a half in. It's a 2.5 hour audio.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But,
one?
Just for the 88 reviews.
Oh, you're listening to all of them?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 88 reviews is a 2.5 hour audio. Because, like I said, I couldn't finish reading it. It just made me cry. So I just converted it to audio and just listened to bits and... I was listening to bits and pieces of it at a time. Yeah. So... I think I put too much water in here. So, anyways, and then I called my lawyer, but... I got his answering service because it was on the weekend. And so I left a message. Well, oh, I called my lawyer. I kind of left this out, didn't I? I called my lawyer because my lawyer is the prosecuting attorney in the area that I'm working.
Okay.
And I didn't want to be in trouble by Raytown for screwing over their citizens or their sovereigns or
right.
However you want terminology it.
The people.
I don't want to get in trouble. Well, one, I don't want to screw over anybody. And two, I don't want to get in trouble for screwing over somebody.
Right. So you want to
especially by, you know, so since my lawyer for the last, my child support lawyer, he's also a criminal attorney, is the prosecuting attorney for the town that I'm actually working in, which is kind of an odyssey, you know. It just so happens that I'm working in his jurisdiction, you know. Kind of freaky. But anyways, I called him, but he was unavailable because it was the weekend. You know, it was Saturday. Friday was St. Patrick's. So on my way to work Saturday morning, I thought, I better call Ross. So I did. I assumed I would get a voicemail, but I was just going to leave him a message. But I got an answering service, and so that threw me off. So I just had him, I left a message for him to, you know, to call me. And then I wrote up. I'm Facebook friends with him, so I wrote up a letter and sent it to him on Facebook. He's friends with all three of my Facebook profiles.
He really likes you.
I guess so. Well, you know, he knows I'm a good guy. He's protected me for over 15 years now. Or about 15 years. I don't know exactly how long it's been, but it's been about 15 or so years. But anyways... So he knows me very well. He's had plenty of time to do homework on me, and he's had plenty of time to get to know me. So I sent him a Facebook message. I know, right? Yeah, he probably thinks I'm weird, but, you know, he also knows I'm a good guy. So my heart's in the right place, at least. Maybe I'm not a good guy, but my heart's in the right place. I'm an asshole, yo-de-yo, yo-de-yo. So anyways, I contacted him, And he got back with me today with a very brief, not so much helpful voicemail, because he called anonymous, and my phone automatically blocks anonymous callers, so he went straight to voicemail. But he basically, in a nutshell, told me that he doesn't know anything about the company, and he doesn't know how I could, you know, screw anybody over. You know, he says, as long as I personally am not causing anyone any harm, I should have nothing to worry about. And but if I feel that I am, then I need to go ahead and quit. Because that was one of the things I asked him in the message, you know, if he could, you know.
So if you see any indications that they're doing things that are underhanded and shady, you need to kind of call them out on it and say, hey, listen, it looks to me like you hired me under false pretenses here. I'm going to have to move on.
Yeah, so I'll play the message that I sent to my lawyer real quick.
Hey, okay. Ross, sorry to bother you on the weekend. I called at the spur of the moment, but for maybe a good reason. I just got off the road and started a new job. Before I started with them, I looked up the online reviews about the company, but I didn't think to check with BBB. I was looking for employee reviews, and didn't think to look for customer reviews. Anyway, the company is called American Dream Home Improvement. I officially started with them February 28th, but my hire date is actually last Tuesday because they couldn't start me right away. March 14th. I was assigned to what I understand to be your jurisdiction, breakdown. I didn't think nothing about nothing till the next day, March 15th. My supervisor and I filed a claim for a guy and he asked us how our BBB rating is. I did not know that answer, but I told him about my other research and I saw only one review that I considered to be a bad review. Then my supervisor said that the company has made good on any and all issues. Or something like that. I was recording the whole thing for training purposes. I'll have to double-check his exact words. Anyway, I didn't actually check the BBB reviews till the evening of March 17th and now I have a bad feeling that I may be aiding and abiding in fraudulent activity. I know you would have far more access to knowledge on this matter than I, and so that is why I am contacting you. I for one don't want to hurt anyone, not do I want to assist in such activities. I personally do not have first-hand knowledge of such behavior and slash or conduct. It is all hearsay evidence, so I am now doing my own investigation. I cannot pay you right away, but you know I am good for it. I just want to know if you think I should quit this company now before I hurt anyone. It may not be too late for me to have the three people I have helped file claims so far, to help them go in another direction if needed. If it becomes too late, I want to help any way I can to get them their restitution. All three of them definitely need new roofs, but I don't want them to get screwed in the process. Overall, I think, or thought, the company was a good company, till I read the BBB reviews. I now have concerns, but have no hard evidence. There were good BBB reviews too, just not as many. That is why I am on the fence and need assistance. I also prayed about it and said in my prayers, if the company is truly scamming people and screwing them over, don't allow me to make any claims, for I don't want to hurt anyone. If the company is legitimate, please help me to be successful and help those in need. So that will help bring some truth to the light too, I hope. Thank you for everything. Oh, the good thing is, while making my rounds, I ran into a guy who has a friend who needs your legal help. So I referred him to you. Thanks again, Kano.
Did you understand that okay?
Yeah, I understood it. I hope the listeners understood it.
Well, as long as you can hear it clearly, that's the main thing. They would have understood 90% of it. There's a couple things that, you know, mispronounced, and I misspelled, like, quit instead. I wrote quite instead of quit.
Yeah. Now, one thing I might say, though, is your lawyer, I'm not sure how
Well, you know,
he's got a liability issue if he says such and such and so and so company is bad. And so
perhaps
he'd have to sell you under the table.
He would. But I think he knows me well enough to know that he probably wouldn't have any ramifications from telling me I need to walk away.
Yeah, he
knows me and he knows the law, he knows me and he knows the legal well enough to know that he wouldn't have any issues.
Like, Kano, I can't tell you this officially, but, you know, between you and me, you might want to walk away.
Right. So, yeah, he got back to me, and I can actually play his voicemail, too, because it was so uninformative, it's probably not going to hurt anything.
What are you doing when your boss listens to our podcast and runs across it?
I'm not worried about that either.
Oh, my.
Where did I go? Oh, well, just play it. Open it. Here we go.
You're lost.
Hey, Kane, it's Ross. No, I really turned your call, and I got your message, instant message. I don't know anything about that company. I don't know if they're doing anything wrong. As long as you're not doing anything wrong, you're okay. If you think you are, then you probably need to quit. But if everything you're doing is on the up and up, then you're okay. Any questions, just give me a call back, 816-753-4830.
So, yeah, if you need a lawyer and you're in Kansas City, he's a criminal attorney.
Yeah. Basically,
so, you know, it's right down, you know, this whole thing's right down his alley. Not to mention I'm working in his jurisdiction as a prosecuting attorney. You know, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, you know.
Well, you haven't observed your company
doing anything malicious.
Services. You haven't seen them offer anything that they can't do.
Right.
And so,
I haven't personally witnessed any malicious activity. You know, like I said in the letter, it's all, here's the evidence. I don't have any first-hand knowledge.
It's like, you know, they haven't told you, climb up on the roof and poke this rod through the roof, and then they can make a claim on their insurance.
Yeah, if they did that, I would definitely call him in and inform him. I'd be a whistleblower.
Yeah, and see, and staying off the roof, they're specifically avoiding that.
Right. And one BBB review, or maybe it was a different review, because I looked at another website. Oh, Yelp. I looked at Yelp also. But I think it was Better Business Bureau that I saw it. But they said that one guy in my job position, they actually caught him on camera poking his thumb through the siding to make a hole so that he can make a claim. But that wasn't the company. That was the inspector.
Right.
You know. So, you know, it just depends on who gets the job, if they're legitimate or not. I won't be doing anything stupid like that. But,
and your company is not encouraging, as far as you know. So,
as far as I know, yeah, I haven't actually heard them say anything like that. One, not my supervisor, but another guy, I think it's my boss's, my supervisor's supervisor. You know, he asked me how I was doing, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, you know, one of the things I told him says, well, you know, because I was struggling with the whole speech, the script. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't have it memorized enough, you know, like I do the increase in the size, the cost, extent, reach, and the power of government.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and you could recite that to him saying, listen, I can memorize these things, it's just I haven't gotten it to this level yet. You know, tell him what kind of gun you want.
Right. Oh, yeah, the combination. You get 57 meters of red laser, triple barrel, double scope, T-seeking shotgun.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I can do these things. It's just it takes me a minute to get it in my brain. But, yeah. So, anyways, so I had changed the script a little bit, you know. And so what I said and what I say right now is, hi, my name's Kano. I'm new here at American Dream Home Improvement, you know. And I told him that. Yeah, I was adding that improv or whatever it's called in there. And he told me not to worry about that because these people don't know shit about anything or something like that. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he goes, they don't know shit. You just need to, you know, just focus on the mission. Don't worry about what they think. Just do what you got to do and, you know, make the deal. So,
right. In other words, it'll all get sorted out in the wash. They're going to get a service. They're going to be happy. In the end, it doesn't matter that you're in it.
Right. That's kind of what I guess maybe he was saying. I took it in a little more negative aspect because he's not respecting the customer. He's telling me the customer don't know shit.
Well, he's right. The customer don't know shit.
But my supervisor didn't say that. It was his supervisor that said that, or one of his supervisors. My supervisor told me not to feel, you know, because he asked me the other day how I was doing, and, you know, I told him, you know, I don't remember what I said exactly, but I do have that app on my phone that records all my phone calls, so I do have everything recorded, so if I do need to document anything, I've got it documented, he said, I was talking about, you know, I don't feel bad. I'm being, you know, not really meticulous. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said something along the lines of, you know, I don't want to sell them something they don't need.
Yeah.
And he goes, and
one either don't
and
want.
I would feel bad. I said I would feel bad, you know, trying to sell them something they don't need. And he goes, what do you got to feel bad about? You know, you're giving them a new roof. He said their insurance is going to go up anyways because there was a storm in the area and people are filing claims. You know, their insurance is going to go up anyways. They might as well get a free roof out of it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think it works like that. So those are really the only two. And of course, my boss, my supervisor is a little aggressive, a little pushy. But, you know, I guess you have to be in order to be, you know, in his position, maybe. I don't know. Some of the other supervisors aren't so aggressive, I guess, maybe. But they're still successful.
Right.
But, you know, he tells me, too, I got to make 1 to 2 claims a day because half of them won't go through or may not go through. Well, that's probably his statistics because he files claims that probably aren't really claims. But, see, all the three people that I filed claims for, they needed a roof like last year.
Right.
So I have no ill feelings about what I did in saying, yeah, you need a new roof. In fact, they already knew they needed a new roof before I showed up.
They were probably
about
making the claim.
Exactly, and apparently a lot of people are. So I was actually more of a helping hand. I helped them take it to the next level. My only concern is I'm afraid that my company is going to screw them over.
Well,
and so that's my biggest concern is that the job's not going to get done right. And I presented myself as helping these people, and I'm actually And then my company turns around and hurts them. That was my biggest concern. And I didn't want no part of that.
Right.
Still don't. But, you know, after talking to my business partner today about it, and Lenny, and, well, my lawyer's message, which wasn't really that much helpful, but after talking to you, Lenny, and Terry about the situation, you know, I've gotten, I feel much better about the situation because, like Terry said, it doesn't matter if I make a claim or not. If I go to somebody's house and say, hey, you got a bad roof, you need a replacement, the insurance is going to come out, insurance company's adjuster is going to come out and say, no, you don't need a new roof, this ain't, you know, whatever. They lied to you. You know, so the insurance
right.
company is watching out for the homeowner as well as themselves. And then my job
the
is supposed to...
The insurance company is looking out for themselves more than the homeowner, but...
Right, and that's what we present to the homeowner, that we are also representing the homeowner. And, of course, ourselves, but, you know... but at least the homeowner's got two sides of the story to look at, you know. They've got somebody watching their back on both sides just from different angles.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, so you're cracking the door open for the insurance company to balk on, and it's like, you know, and you're providing evidence. And by not walking on the roof, you're actually protecting the client. Which you can point out to them. It's like, listen, if I walk on the roof, the insurance company will claim I did the damage.
Right.
All right. So I'm protecting you by not walking on the roof yet.
Yet, until the insurance company.
When the insurance agent gets here, then I or one of our representatives will walk on the roof.
Right. Alongside the inspector. I'm
yep.
not the inspector, the adjuster.
The adjuster.
Right, so I feel better about a lot of things now because, you know, so the only other thing I got to watch out for is the contractor. When the contractor comes out to do the work, I need to make sure they do their job.
Oh, it's on you?
Well, I don't know. Not necessarily, but it's on my conscience.
Okay, well...
I don't want the homeowner to get screwed over. I'm their representative. I sold them a roof. It makes me look bad if the contractor screws up.
Right. Well, yeah. You may be taking on too much, but, you know, if the contractor does not follow through on a consistent basis, then... You know, see, that might be the other reason why the Better Business Bureau has complained about them. Maybe they hired a contractor that screwed them over, and thus the customer at the same time. You know, and so you know, they had to handle the situation, replace the contractor, et cetera, et cetera. Things happen like that. So, again,
low
complaint level, all right?
Right.
You know.
Yeah, less than 1%.
So, yeah, so, you know... So if somebody asks you, now you can say, well, the complaint level is less than 1%.
Yeah.
You know, and my boss assures me that all complaints are being handled, you know. So.
Bada boom. So, yeah.
And somebody asks that is probably going to follow up with looking, you know.
They're going to what?
They'll probably follow up with looking into it and seeing.
Right. And I'll let them know after everything goes good to please go to the Better Business Bureau and put in a good comment because more people complain in general on a website, review site, they'll tend to complain more than they will praise.
Yeah, and that potentially can get you in trouble. I can tell you my own personal experiences.
Okay.
Well, you know, okay. I was in newspaper distribution, all right, and they have a thing they call CPT, that's count per thousand, and that's a number that the advertisers look at. See how many complaints there are per thousand papers delivered, you know, on a daily basis, all right? Well, I actively contacted my customers to see how their service was. And that got them out of apathy. And so if something went wrong, they complained. Whereas before, they just, the paper again.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I don't know if our company has that.
Go up.
Right. I don't know if my company has that service, but I'm talking about the Better Business Bureau, which is a separate organization.
I understand. If you get more people to go to the Better Business Service, you know, they...
Well, if they had a good experience and they bring the review rating up, you know, the good review rating up, then that will ease a lot of people's conscience, you know, especially when I'm approaching people and saying, hey, you know, here's this good company and we're offering this good service. And then they go to Better Business Bureau and they say, well, this guy's a bunch of crap. He lied to me. Well, no, maybe I didn't lie to them.
Yeah, it's along the lines of, I don't know how many people just throwing it out there, it's like 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 2,000 people will complain or praise. You know.
Right.
So every complaint, every comment actually represents a huge number of people. Because
true.
The rest of them just will sit on their thumbs and, you know,
not do anything.
Yeah,
right.
That's like,
I have to find out what those percentages are so I can do an accurate calculation. But my calculation right now is 0.00032. That's the percentage. So it would actually be 0.01 would be 1%. So 0.0003 would be 0.0001%
Right. And then you got to look at the relative comment rate. You know, what percentage of people will comment good versus what percentage will comment bad?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I can pretty well guarantee that the comment bad is much more likely than the comment good.
Oh yeah, that's why I try to go and give people praise on their stuff. Because, yeah, most people just don't do that.
Sound like you dropped the line again.
No, I just plugged my phone into the PC. Trying to find a file that I guess doesn't exist. For some reason, my phone did not record my conversation with my business partner earlier. It was a good conversation. I wanted to put it on my... See, I put all this stuff about the company that, all the phone calls that I get from my supervisors, anything about the company, I put it on my MP3 player so I can listen to it while I'm in between houses driving so that I can program myself and, you know, get better at the business. And so I was going to put that on there as well because it's, you know, it helped me today. And so I thought, okay, I'll put that on my deal so I can listen to it while I'm driving and it'll help me, you know, help my morale a little bit.
Good?
Yeah, but it didn't record.
I can't
do it. Lost dog. Somebody lost a collie. Oh, no, it's an Australian Shepherd. It looks like a collie almost.
Australian Shepherd. Those are good dogs.
Yeah. This person must have money and Their dog must be very important to them because it is a huge laminated flyer that they apparently put on a telephone pole and it blew off.
Didn't invest in good staples.
Well, probably not, but we had a really high wind the other day.
Okay, so by any chance, did you go to YouTube and get the video I we were going
to
discuss?
Yes, and I already converted it to audio. We can play that as well if you want.
Yeah. I've got a few comments and thoughts about it. I mean, it's actually a kind of a heart-wrenching, you know, thing to contemplate, you know, heartbreaking actually, you know. But
I know.
In some light, it's actually, there's a lot of positive to it in some light. All right. So go ahead and play that if you can.
All right. Give me a second. It's on my desktop.
Ready,
set.
A deeper analysis of Brifo's Law, a useful male heuristic. Robert Brifo was a 19th century trained surgeon who later became known as a prominent social anthropologist. He is most known for his book, The Mothers, where he developed Brifo's Law and writes, "The female, not the male, determines all of the conditions of the animal family. Where the female can derive no benefit from association with the male, no such association takes place." The passage became popular through the Stickman blog, where the three following propositions were added. Past benefit provided by the male does not provide for continued or future association. Any agreement where the male provides a current benefit in return for a promise of future association is null and void as soon as the male has provided that benefit. And a promise of future benefit has limited influence on current or future association, with the influence inversely proportionate to the length of time until the benefit will be given and directly proportionate to the degree to which the female trusts the male, which is not likely. An analysis of Brifo's Law, including the three propositions, is simple. Once you stop providing a value and benefit to a woman in a relationship, that relationship ceases to exist. It doesn't matter what benefits you have provided in the past, such as through money and security. Likewise, any future benefits, such as promising to travel the world, will be limited to how likely she believes it will come true and how much time she's willing to invest into the association until it happens. As a note, we typically think of benefits in the form of monetary value, or resources we provide. The truth is, this is only the most transparent benefit men can provide. Benefits can literally be anything, from access to our sperm, our social value, or even attention you provide her. For example, if we think of beta orbiters in social media, you can see where all the women feed off all of the attention. Part of the reason why marriage is a one-sided contract is because when you marry a woman, you are essentially granting her access to all of your resources in return for nothing. Brifo's Law explains precisely why we see a tremendous amount of women leaving men once they have lost their job, women draining their partner of resources because he failed to say no, and then leaving him for a man with resources, and men who marry women and grant them all the resources as dictated by the state, and then divorce later down the road. This is why red pill abuse marriage is life on hard mode, because you enter into a contract with someone where typically you as a man have all of the risks, and she has all of the benefits. This explains why 90% of divorces are initiated by women. They have gained everything they possibly can through the act of marriage. As a man, you can never give all the benefits of your association over to a woman. If you do this, you are no longer valuable to her. This also helps explain why some men who only offer money to a woman end up in a sexless marriage or divorce later on because they only ask that they have money they gave to the women through marriage. Additionally, what woman would want a man who allows his own wife to walk all over him? What does that say about his interactions with the world, his interactions with other men, and who would want to associate with such a man? As one blog puts it rather abrasively, it is essential that the host leads the parasite, rather than the other way around. When the parasite leads, it destroys both the host and the parasite. But when the host leads, both organisms can survive. In other words, learn to say no. With that being said, there are quite a few criticisms of Brifo's Law, and it is important as men we understand them. First and foremost, Brifo took animal matriarchal societies and tried to apply them to humans. This is incredibly difficult to do, because the human brain and psychology is much more complex than animals. As 9-inch Pitchfork has pointed out, the field of operant psychology, aka B.F. Skinner, deconstructs this premise. Secondly, there are almost no records of any human matriarchal societies, and an overwhelmingly abundant amount of patriarchal societies. Additionally, the statement appears to be applicable to not only females, but also males. For example, I would never associate or have a relationship with any of the hardcore, purple-haired, fat whales of feminists over the age of 30, because they offer no benefits. In fact, a key qualifier in me having an association with a woman is directly, would I have sex with you? And in this case, yes, yes, and yes. And as user Whisper has pointed out, the definition of a relationship provides more insight. A relationship is an ongoing or repeated interaction with continuous mutual benefit. Therefore, when the mutual benefit ceases, the relationship ceases. Additionally, there are some situations where women have proven the first premise is incorrect. One is the case where females have stayed with their bedridden husbands even though the benefits derived from their husbands have ceased, or if anything, have decreased. From this, I firmly believe the level degree to which Riefel's law applies to a female is similar to the level degree hypergamy affects her. As Rational Male has pointed out, one woman who is raised in a particular way may only act on her hypergamous nature to a degree of 10%, whereas another woman who is raised much more poorly would act on to a degree of 90%. I believe Riefel's law is applicably similar. Look at what we call nice guys, or as some users have called them, commitment sluts. These are men who give away freely their commitment benefits and offer what men offer without first being in a relationship. In a relationship, a man provides emotional intimacy, or relationship commitment, and the woman provides physical intimacy, or sexual commitment. A slut is not respected because she provides physical intimacy without requiring emotional intimacy in return. Likewise, a nice guy provides emotional intimacy and or other benefits such as resources without first requiring physical intimacy. Therefore, he has sold himself cheap, and he is not respected. Likewise, a slut is not respected because she provides her sex without first requiring emotional intimacy in return. Therefore, she is devaluing her primary asset, her sexual fertility. This is precisely why we say women are the gatekeepers of sex, and men are the gatekeepers of commitment. Sluts sell sex cheaply like low-value men get commitment cheaply, and neither, therefore, are respected, only used.
So you're more of a slut than I am.
I don't know. I refuse to give, Miss Random, any commitment.
True. Well, you are more selective about who you are giving your commitment to than I am.
Right.
Because, what's her face? Regina. I gave her my commitment too fast, and she abused it. She abused me.
Right. Yeah.
When she was really just looking to be a slut herself, but a different kind.
Well, she was, per the description. There's some assumptions in there that makes this all look negative, all right? And he pointed out some of them is, if you just think of physical resources in terms of physical resources, well, those aren't all the possible benefits you can get. One of the benefits from the relationship you can get, male or female, is the relationship itself, and thus the woman who stays with her husband even though he's bedridden.
Right.
All right.
That's true love. Where the other ones...
Yeah. But it's
the
a
other
resource.
Ones are just... They're just with the guy for the resource.
But
and the
that
only
is
way you're going to really know that is when you lose all your resources.
When you lose your other resources, yeah.
Right. Just like Mary cheated on me after I lost my resources. I didn't lose all my resources. I just didn't have... the resources I used to have. They declined.
She couldn't afford to sit on the TV and watch 100 cable channels.
We didn't have cable, but she probably would have liked it. But I wouldn't pay for it. If she wanted it, she would have had to pay for it, but I wasn't paying
for it. I tell
you,
I like cable because cable comes with internet, and I love internet.
Yeah, there you go. We had good internet. I definitely provided unlimited internet.
Yeah.
And we had digital TV. I mean, the TV service that we was getting for free wasn't bad. Kids liked it. It was, it had good stuff, And there was always movies. You can always buy or whatever. Movies. Watch movies. You don't gotta sit in front of this stupid boob tube all the time. Of course, my mom That's why my mom doesn't get anything done. She's too busy sitting in front of the boob tube. She's like, I ain't got no time. I'm just so busy. Every night when she comes home, TV for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, two or three hours. And in the morning, you know, she's up till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning watching TV. Of course, she gets off at 10:30, so she don't even get home till almost, you know, 11.
I like my TV shows, but before, I was to the point where I wanted to get one of those recorders that recorded just the program, cut out the commercials and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to watch the show while it was airing because that was an additional 15 minutes of sitting.
Right. An additional 15 minutes of time wasted.
Right. And so... So I kind of like the way I do things now. I mean, when I was home working in the house, yeah, I played my video game. I forget the name of it. It was, Mamba Noogie. I think that was the name of it. I don't think you can play Mamba Noogie on the phone.
Phone?
Right.
I don't think so either.
If I got the program right, it was Mamba Noogie, and I was building this character up and building up her music skills. All right, and one of the ways to do that is you have it play its instrument over and over again. And I'd have it, you know, so every time I walked past the computer, all I had to do is hit one key, and she'd play her instrument again. All right? And I'd go about my business. And when I walked by, I'd hit it again, every time I walked by. You know, and so even though I wasn't sitting in front of the computer, this character was leveling up. So
there you go.
You know, and so, and, you know, I'd change the music out from time to time because, one, you wear out scrolls playing the same music over and over again, and, two, want a little variety, you know. but that's how I was playing that game, and I was getting stuff done around the house while doing that. So... try to do the same thing with all my internet stuff. You know, it's like, you know, I'll download a podcast and I'll listen to it.
Well, in her defense, that wasn't the only reason why she cheated on me, I'm sure. You know, she required a lot of attention. I mean, a
home.
Lot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I wasn't home. I was a truck driver. And, she, even though she, I gave her a lot of attention, more than most guys would probably give her. So, we were really good for each other for the most part, but I didn't give her, apparently, as much as she wanted. I gave her probably as much as she needed, but not as much as she wanted. And, you know, a lot of times she was just negative, you know. She always wanted to talk about other people's drama that I didn't really care about and other things like that, you know. So I eventually started becoming, I wouldn't say I hardened my heart, but I just was like, I didn't want to listen to the bull crap, you know, and all the negativity. And it was stressing me out. And one day, at the post office, there was a bomb threat.
Mm.
And she was freaked out. And this was one, and it just so happened I was in my cave at that moment. I was in my cave and didn't want to talk to nobody.
Ah. Yeah, I know
and,
what you mean by cave now.
Right.
The listeners might not, though.
So, and that, When I go, and I don't go through that very often, but when I do, it lasts about a day or two. Sometimes longer, sometimes less, but on average, probably about a day or two. And the guy that she cheated on me was there for her when I wasn't, and that is why I lost her.
Ouch.
Well, that's... not the reason, it's part of the reason. You know, but he was just using her for sex. So, and he worked with her. You know, they say that most people, when they cheat, it's with somebody that they work with.
Right.
Which our friend, I think it's her son or her daughter. Anyways, the husband won't allow his wife to associate with men. They live around the corner from us. Anyways.
Wait, what now? Oh.
Right. I now have a greater understanding of why men don't want their women to work and why men don't want their women to associate with other men.
Now, you're talking about right around the corner behind it to us. Or are you talking about the one on the other side of the river?
Other side of the river? No, right around the corner.
Okay.
Live right next door to each other.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't want to divulge too much information.
Yeah, I understand, yeah. I'm just trying to get a clear picture because we got a woodcutter friend who, similar.
Oh, right.
Similar attitude.
Right, and I understand it now more than I used to. Before, I used to think, they're just insecure idiots. Well, maybe they're insecure because
but not
something
idiots.
Happened. Yeah, they're not idiots. I don't think they're idiots anymore. So I will be very on guard in my next relationship.
Right. Yeah, and it's not like in this day and age you can tell her she can't go out and work, but that's exactly what one of her friend's wives did, and suddenly she's not the wife anymore.
Right, she cheated on him.
Yeah, she went out and got a job and started cheating on him almost immediately.
Yep.
Which is sad, you know.
I know.
But, okay, so that kind of brings up one of the comments I wanted to make about Breifalt's law. It could be absolutely true and not really be a bad thing.
Well, you have to learn how to make it a good thing.
Yeah, well,
I mean, the law is the law. You have to figure out how to work with it.
In a natural environment, it probably works out beautifully. But we live in this artificial environment where women aren't really married to their husbands.
No, they're married to Uncle
Sam. And vice versa. They're first married to Uncle Sam. Or whatever government is, you know, imposing itself upon them. And Uncle Sam at this point says, oh, it's perfectly okay for you to go cheat on your husband. We'll back you up if you do it.
Right.
And that produces this situation where, oh, she has access to all of your resources. She no longer needs you. Matter of fact, she can divorce you and take the resources with her.
Even if she cheated on you and she was the one who defiled the relationship.
Precisely.
Because, yes, she has no accountability.
Because there's this artificial entity that has told her it's perfectly okay to do exactly that.
Right. They create a problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem, which puts more and more money and power into their pockets.
Right. And it, you know, cutting right at the family is, you know, that's the basic unit of government, and they're cutting... They're basically cutting their own throats by doing it, but, ooh, look at all the profit they can make in the meantime.
Right.
And they do. They make a lot of profit. Cutting their own throats, cutting our throats, cutting everybody's throat.
Right. They destroy a lot of families, destroy a lot of homes, destroy a lot of lives. just so they can put money in their pockets. So, in that recording, it said it gave a percentage. I didn't quite catch that percentage. Hang on, it was at 4:30, so I'm going to play it again.
Okay.
Her way may only act on her affirmative nature to a degree of 10%, whereas another woman who is raised much more poorly would act on to a degree of 90%. As Rational Male has pointed out, one woman who is raised in a particular way may only act on her affirmative nature to a degree of 10%, whereas another woman who is raised much more poorly would act on to a degree of 90%. I believe Brieflow's law.
So, 10 and 90%. A woman who's raised poorly will act on something or other not at 90%, where a woman who is raised differently will act on that about 10%.
Right. So basically what he's saying is a woman who is, quote-unquote, trailer trash, doesn't see any problem with being a prostitute, et cetera, will strip you of your resources and not think anything of it 90% of the time.
Right. That goes back to my 90% rule that I was talking about with a different statistic.
Well, there seems to be a general rule in nature, either 80-20 or 90-10. It's in that area.
So on average, it'd be about 15%.
it's like this. You know, 20% of the people produce 80% of the value.
Right. And 80% of your time, or 20% of your time, will produce 80% of your results.
There you go.
Because most of the time, people are wasting the other 80% of their time.
Yeah. Spinning their wheels.
Right. Or sleeping. Yeah. No, I don't think that's a waste. But anyways, depends on how much you're sleeping. I mean, today, I slept half the day away because I was depressed.
Well, it sounds like you got over it.
I'm getting over it. But, I mean, I was at the end of the depression. You know, it's like when you win the lottery, and you're like, woo, and then you lose everything. And you're like, people at casinos. A lot of times you'll see at casinos, ambulances, fire trucks going to the casinos a lot because people are winning and they're on a high. And then all of a sudden they lose everything and they have a heart attack.
Who?
Elderly people, you know. So then the paramedics show up because, you know, they lost all this money and they freaked out and their body just had an allergic reaction, basically. And it just shut down on them.
Their body had an allergic reaction to their stupidity.
Yeah. So that's basically what happened was I had all this buildup, and then I guess I released a lot of it today. And then my body was exhausted. And so I just had to sleep.
And here I was concerned about your feet.
Right? Feet, what are those?
Well, you're doing a lot of walking, aren't you? You know, I'm kind of concerned that, you know.
No, I'm actually doing pretty good.
People who go from sedentary jobs to walking, you know, often have problems with their feet. So.
No, I'm actually doing pretty good.
I still recommend you soak your feet. It might help your head, too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying soak your head. I'm saying soak your feet, and that might help your head.
Well, you never know. I might need to do both.
Yeah, go soak your head for about an hour.
Stick your head in the microwave and give yourself a tan. Muffy wants attention. She's laying in the middle of the floor like, pet me. She never lays in the middle of the floor. Except when I come home. When I come to, well, not home, but my grandparents is, which is still home. She'll come out of the bedroom and she'll roll around in the middle of the living room floor. She never does that. She's saying, pet me, love me, give me attention, I love attention. I haven't been giving her that much attention today, so she's like, what's wrong with you?
I'm not sure that Breeze Fault's law is, and he pointed out that it does go both ways. On the face of it, it looked pretty negative and pretty, you know, it's like, oh, well. But
yeah,
you
guys
if
cheat
you think
just
about
as
it,
as women do.
What do I want from a woman? I want her ovaries. I do.
I don't know what I want from a woman anymore. I don't know that I care anymore.
Well, I want her love and affection.
And
I want to give love and affection in return. All right?
What's that?
But, you know, this Breeze Fault's law, it points out that, you know, hey, there's a reason why bad boys are so desirable. He doesn't state it flat out, but, you know, most good guys, they complain. Why is she going for the bad boy? Well, because he made his commitment so valuable that she has to fight for it.
Right.
She literally has to change him even just a little bit to get any commitment out of him because he just ain't got none.
Pretty much.
So if she can get some commitment out of this bad boy, well, that could be more valuable than gold because she just got a hold of something that was impossible.
Right. So a woman has to change him in order. A woman has to change him in order to get any commitment out of him.
Right. So she has to work real hard at it. It makes his commitment very valuable. Whereas, you know, you got a commitment slut like, you know, you and me. Yeah, she ain't got to do squat to get our commitment. Well, it's not entirely true. With me, she has to do something. She has to show me some affection. But,
well, yeah, I mean, we're not complete commitment sluts. I mean, we have some scruples and we have some, you know, rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines. Just not as much.
I got a friend who... he says his daughters have to ask his permission before, you know, they can, you know, propose to anybody, whatever, right? Before they can show interest in anybody. Well, I hate to break it to him, but I'm not going to ask his permission to marry them until they've shown interest in me and there's some indication. And at that point, I'll ask permission to court. But that's about it. And granted, he's got some other things about age and things like that, so it's not going to happen with him. But, you know, the girl's got to show some interest first before anybody's going to approach him.
Well,
permission.
I hate to break it to both of you, but it doesn't matter what rules are laid out. Attraction isn't a choice. If she's attracted to somebody, they're going to know it.
Yeah.
Whether she tries to let them know it or not, it's going to be obvious.
Yeah, it depends on how she acts on it and he acts on it, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
Right.
You know, the best he can do is help be protection for her. It's like, hey, Daddy, I'm really attracted to this guy. You know, whatever.
You know. Well, yeah, he has to protect her. That's his job.
Yeah. So you don't want me to give him the I kill you if anything happens to her speech? Or you want me to at least tone it down about two notches?
Or like that country song says, I'll be up all night cleaning this here gun.
Yeah, bring my daughter back to me in one piece and I can put it away.
That's it, basically. Don't mind me, I'll just be here all night cleaning this here gun. And he's cleaning the gun when the kid shows up to pick up his daughter. Oh, yeah, I got a good one for you. I got this speech. It's called the Apple and Orange speech.
Okay.
When I started dating this girl, this is like 20 years ago, her parents sat me down at the kitchen table, and they gave me this Apple and Orange speech. She's the orange. I'm the apple.
Right.
Okay. So here's the, you know, they got the apple and the orange, and they're mingling and whatnot. And I forgot the whole, you know, speech, you know, word for word. But anyways, long story short, they said they put the apple on top of the orange. And they said, if this happens, then the wife gets out a knife and she starts skinning the apple.
Ooh.
And then after she gets done skinning the apple, she puts the apple on the table, and the husband takes a machete out and slices the apple in half. And then they said, you understand? And I said, completely. That was the most terrifying birds and bees speech I've ever received. Needless to say, I did not have sex with this woman.
Yeah, I'm actually Googling that to see if...
I never did. I need to look that up myself. Apple and orange speech.
Okay, looks like I'm going to have to clarify.
Apple and orange, birds and bees speech.
Okay.
I'm not seeing anything. I might have to actually videotape. I'm actually Facebook friends with them still, or whatever. I might have to have them do it for me while I videotape it.
Right.
I have to send them a Facebook message. That scared the bejesus out of me. There was no way, and actually she wanted to have sex with me. There was no way that was going to happen. I was like, hell no. Hell no. We won't go. Huh?
They probably knew their daughter. You know, they probably grabbed apple and orange because it's a common phrase. When things don't match, they say it's, you know, comparing apples to oranges.
Right.
So they grabbed it because those two things, because A, they were handy, and B, it was, you know, a common phrase. So searching.
How about skinning
possible.
The apple? How about skinning? Hang on.
Yeah, I think maybe they made this up themselves or whatever. You can ask them what their what the history of that speech was. You know, is this?
Oh yeah, they probably made it up. This, like I said, this is 20 years ago. They
did her daddy give you this speech?
Her parents both did it. They sat together.
No, I mean when you talk to the couple who gave you the speech, you should ask him if her daddy gave him that speech.
Probably.
Because, you know.
Yeah, that scared the crap out of me, man. I tell you what.
Hey, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And their kitchen table was a picnic table.
So they could afford to slice and dice things on it.
I'm sure they've done it more than once, too.
Did you know how many grooves were in the
I probably may have, but I don't recall.
It's probably one of the determining factors on how well you behave.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting video. Catholic family of 13-plus kids has no debt.
Well, you know, I was a virgin, though, too. So there was a good percentage that I wasn't going to sleep with her anyways. That just increased the percentage.
Right. Yep.
But I was very attracted to her, so without that speech, she probably would have gotten in my pants. But because of that speech, there was no way.
Yeah, sorry, baby, this ain't happening.
Yeah.
You want more? You're gonna have to put a ring on it.
Exactly. You know, that's the funny thing, Mary proposed to me.
There you go.
Like 3 times.
So you rejected her twice and then she turned around and cheated on you?
No.
Sorry.
I put a ring on it.
Right.
But I didn't marry her through the New World Order.
But still.
You know, I didn't give her the government sanctions that she wanted. So technically she proposed to me many times over, but you know, I eventually gave her a marriage, but it wasn't a government marriage.
Did you give vows like till death do us part?
Yes and no.
You could say, you know, we didn't involve the New World Order, so there's no abrogation in this contract. And since you've parted from me, one of us has got to die, and it ain't me.
Hey. Yeah, well, I wouldn't go to that degree, but...
Yeah, I hear you.
We were going to have a ceremony.
Yeah, just...
We were going to have a ceremony, but I was too freaked out. You know, I was traumatized from all of my disastrous relationships in the past. I couldn't do a ceremony. I just couldn't do it. But I put a ring on her finger and I called her my wife.
In Florida, that's good enough. Or at least it was when I was... Matter of fact, you don't even need the ring. You just say you're man and wife. And any hotel owner who rented you a room can testify, yep, he said it, so they are.
Right. So, now if I gave her a government-sanctioned marriage, would she have cheated on me? Who knows, probably.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to say. Because a lot of people take that religiously as, you know.
Well, yeah, because she sought one of her friend's advice on Facebook. And her friend said, well, you're not married. And that was basically what gave her permission to cheat on me. Because we weren't legally married. In the eyes of the government. And therefore, she was granted permission by her friend to go behind my back.
Right. And, you know, might drop something on that friend's ear saying, you know, hey, who's your God?
Oh, well, I didn't do it that way, but I did do something, and it was not pretty.
Ouch.
Well, I didn't do it till a couple of years later. I was still friends with her husband on Facebook, but I blocked. No, I didn't block. I unfriended her.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if I unfriended her or if I blocked her. I think I blocked her. But I got three profiles, and she's got like a half dozen profiles.
Okay.
So it's like I keep getting friend requests from her, and so I finally sent him a message that says, please ask her to stop sending me friend requests. I don't have a problem with you, but I have a problem with her, and this is why. And I have evidence to back it up. I'm not trying to cause any problems. I'm not trying to start any fights. I just want her to leave me alone and quit trying to send me friend requests. And, it got a little ugly. It didn't get real ugly, but she don't send me friend requests anymore. But that wasn't the first time she encouraged Mary to go behind my back.
Right.
Another time prior to that, she actually, all right, long story short, her husband now was in prison. Okay, I don't remember why. It was something that, it was for drugs, so it may not have been actually a real crime. But he was in prison. And she was in relationships while he was in prison, but she made it clear that once he's out of prison, she's with him. You know, whatever relationship she's in is over when he gets out of prison. Okay. So I know it's kind of fucked up, but anyways. So while she was in the relationship prior to the one she's in now, they had a guy staying with them, a roommate, if you will, an older gentleman, and he was a biker, and he had a thing for Mary. They lived like 2, 3, 4 doors down. Hang on, let me think. Two doors down. They lived 2 doors down from us. So Mary was there a lot. Well, this girl tried to get Mary to get involved with her roommate while I was on the road. And Mary came to me and told me about it.
Right.
And this was, you know, about a year or two, probably about 2 years maybe, prior to Mary actually finally going behind my back and, you know, with that one or two other guys. I know one for sure. I'm 90% sure about the other one, but I don't have any hard evidence. The first one, I do have hard evidence. I have all kinds of documentation. But the other guy, I only have, you know, things that are indicate that she was sleeping with him as well, but no real evidence. So maybe she wasn't cheating on me with two guys. Maybe she's only cheating him with one. But the other guy was in the picture, and I'm sure she was planning it, even though she may not have done it, because she ended up with him in a relationship after her 6-month fling with the other guy. So I'm pretty sure it was two guys. But anyways, so this woman instigated it twice. And so I didn't want no part of her. But
right.
So yeah, her friend is what basically
was. She's doing
was,
that kind of crap. What does that say about her own
relationship?
Ethics on her own? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Of course.
So basically, when you told him, please have her leave me alone, and gave the reason why, you basically told him, your wife is potentially a slut.
Well, yeah, basically, I gave him an eye into her behavior. That maybe he wasn't aware of prior to.
Right. My ex had different collections of friends. I wasn't really aware of that until toward the very end. You know, the one friend that I thought she was with all the time, turns out she was only over there once a week. You know, and that friend at one point contacted me and was kind of upset with me that I didn't know where my own wife was. And I blasted her. I said, well, she's with you all the frickin' time, and she needs to be home with her family. And she, you know...
educated you otherwise.
Yeah, she educated me otherwise, but she wasn't, like, she didn't tear into me over it. It's like, oh. It's like, well, she's not over here all the time. And she never sleeps over here, even though that's what I was told.
She was just a good alibi because it worked for a little while, or a long while.
It worked for a long while. Yeah.
You idiot!
Yeah, you idiot. Well, you know.
I know, I'm just playing with you.
It wasn't that she was good at hiding, it's that...
You trusted her.
Yeah, I trusted her. And I you know, I things that should have been obvious to me, I just did not see.
And that brings me to another point. I've experienced over and over again throughout the years women dogging me one way or the other. All right. If I trust a woman in my past, not this woman that I'm actually talking to at the moment, but a woman prior to her, if I trusted her, then I'm an idiot. But if I don't trust, if I didn't trust women in my past, I'm an asshole. I can't win either way.
You're a trusting asshole.
I'm a trusting asshole. Well, you know, it's like, okay, for example, my oldest son's mother and my first wife. You know, because I have kids and I got child support, I'm a dumbass because I didn't keep my dick in my pants. Well, one, I was in relationships with these women. The first woman told me she was on the pill and I didn't have to wear a rubber. And the second one told me that that she had endometriosis and couldn't have kids. And so I trusted them. And they got pregnant.
Right. And then...
So that makes me an asshole. A deadbeat. Because then the women turn around and don't let me see my children and drag me through courts and make me out to be like this horrible person. And I have... had a very minuscule relationship with my children for the last 20 years.
And then there's
but
our
the
friend
asshole.
Who, his ex kidnapped the children and took them to another state and nobody did anything about it. And he's just now gotten that cleared up where he doesn't have to continue paying child support on them.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, and then if I don't trust a woman because of my experience in the past, because I did trust a woman too much,
you've got
now
bad,
I'm an asshole.
Man.
Now I'm an asshole because I don't trust women. It's like, wait a minute.
You've got baggage. You shouldn't dump your baggage on me. It's like,
yeah, you just can't win. So I'm not even sure I want a relationship anymore.
Well, I do.
I'm just not sure I want one. I mean, I haven't even been on a Dateline since. Well, I was on a Dateline the other day. Good Thai Girls or Good Thai Girl? Because I got a message and so I checked it. But
oh God, I've been too busy. I don't think I've looked at one for over a month now.
That's the only one I've been to in the last month or so. And of course she's over in Thailand and she wants kids. So I was just like, well, I had two messages from two different women. The first one I replied says, I'm sorry, you want children. It's not going to work. And
well,
the second
what you do
one,
is you contact her and say, listen, if you can get your butt here to the United States, I've got the friend for you.
Oh, true. I forgot about you. I'm sorry.
You're not thinking you're your buddy.
I'm an asshole.
Yo-yo.
But anyways, yeah, so the second one, I just didn't respond.
Yeah, I don't either. If they're overseas, I don't respond, usually.
Yeah.
And honestly, I regret it every time I do.
Why?
Because then I end up having a long conversation with somebody I know I'm never going to meet.
Oh, you regret when you do respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because they're almost always a really nice young lady over there that, you know.
Or they
usually
appear to be. Most women appear to be more than.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, appear is probably a more accurate response. But all the same, if she could get her butt over here, because I ain't going to bring anybody over, for precisely the thing you said, they appear. All righty, we're approaching about the two-hour mark. Do you think it's about time we do a Ron Paul thing?
Yeah, I'm just not sure if I can. I'm not sure how to do three-way with the landline. Hang on a second.
I could attempt it.
All right, the number is 888-322-1414.
Oops, I forgot. There's a step I need to do first. I need to go here. All right, now, when I do this, hopefully you'll hold the line because I'm going to go away for a second.
Yeah, and if you get disconnected, I'm on the line as an admin, so it won't stop the recording. Yeah, okay. He's already gone for the moment. Yeah! Ron Paul Revolution! Yeah, if you haven't figured it out, we're freedom fighters. We're 3%ers.
The representatives will vote.
Sorry about that. It's already going.
Repeals Obamacare. However, the bill retains Obamacare's most destructive features. This is not to say this legislation is entirely without merit. For example, the bill expands the amount individuals can contribute to a health savings account. Health savings accounts allow individuals to save money tax-free to pay for routine medical expenses. By restoring individuals' control over health care dollars, HSAs remove the distortions introduced in the health care market by government policies encouraging over-reliance on third-party payers. The legislation also contains other positive changes, such as a provision allowing individuals to use health care tax credits to purchase a catastrophic-only insurance policy. Ideally, health insurance should only cover major or catastrophic health events. No one expects their auto insurance to cover routine oil changes, so why should they expect health insurance to cover routine checkups? Unfortunately, the bill's positive aspects are more outweighed by its failure to repeal Obamacare's regulations and price controls. Like all price controls, Obamacare distorts the signals that a freely functioning marketplace sends to consumers and producers, thus guaranteeing chaos in the marketplace. The result of this chaos is higher prices, reduced supply, and lowered quality. Two particularly insidious Obamacare regulations are guaranteed issue and community ratings. As the name suggests, guaranteed issue forces health insurance company to issue a health insurance policy to anyone who applies for coverage. Community ratings forces health insurance companies to charge an obese couch potato and a physically fit jogger similar premiums. This forces the jogger to subsidize the couch potato unhealthy lifestyle. Obamacare's individual mandate was put in place to ensure that guaranteed issue and community ratings would not drive health care insurance companies out of business. Rather than repealing guaranteed issue and community ratings, the House Republicans' plan forces those who go longer than 2 months without health insurance to pay a penalty to health insurance companies when they purchase new policies. It's hard to feel sympathy for the insurance companies since they supported Obamacare. These companies were eager to accept government regulations in exchange for a mandate that individuals buy their product. But we should feel sympathy for Americans who are struggling to afford or even obtain health care because of Obamacare and who will obtain little or no relief from Obamacare, too. The underlying problem with the Republican proposal is philosophical. The plan put forth by the alleged pro-free market Republicans implicitly accepts the premise that health care is a right that must be provided by government. But rights are inalienable aspects of our humanity, not gifts from the government. If government can give us rights, they then can take them away from us. Giving government power to enforce a fictitious right to health care justifies government theft and coercion. Thievery and violence do not suddenly become moral when carried out by government. America's health care system will only be fixed when a critical mass of people reject the philosophical and economic fallacies justifying government-run health care. Those of us who know the truth must continue to work to spread the ideas of and grow the movement for liberty. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
888-322-1414.
Hello, Paul, with your weekly update for Monday, March 20th.
Hey, it works for you.
The House of Representatives will vote on a Republican bill that supposedly repeals Obamacare. However, the bill retains Obamacare's most destructive features. This is not to say this legislation is entirely without merit. For example, the bill expands the amount individuals can contribute to a health savings account. Health savings accounts allow individuals to save money tax-free to pay for routine medical expenses. By restoring individuals' control over health care dollars, HSAs remove the distortions introduced in the health care market by government policies encouraging over-reliance on third-party payers. The legislation also contains other positive changes, such as a provision allowing individuals to use health care tax credits to purchase a catastrophic-only insurance policy. Ideally, health insurance should only cover major or catastrophic health events. No one expects their auto insurance to cover routine oil changes, so why should they expect health insurance to cover routine checkups? Unfortunately, the bill's positive aspects are more outweighed by its failure to repeal Obamacare's regulations and price controls. Like all price controls, Obamacare distorts the signals that a freely functioning marketplace sends to consumers and producers, thus guaranteeing chaos in the marketplace. The result of this chaos is higher prices, reduced supply, and lowered quality. Two particularly insidious Obamacare regulations are guaranteed issue and community ratings. As the name suggests, guaranteed issue forces health insurance company to issue a health insurance policy to anyone who applies for coverage. Community ratings forces health insurance companies to charge an obese couch potato and a physically fit jogger similar premiums. This forces the jogger to subsidize the couch potato unhealthy lifestyle. Obamacare's individual mandate was put in place to ensure that guaranteed issue and community ratings would not drive health care insurance companies out of business. Rather than repealing guaranteed issue and community ratings, the House Republicans' plan forces those who go longer than 2 months without health insurance to pay a penalty to health insurance companies when they purchase new policies. It's hard to feel sympathy for the insurance companies since they supported Obamacare. These companies were eager to accept government regulations in exchange for a mandate that individuals buy their product. But we should feel sympathy for Americans who are struggling to afford or even obtain health care because of Obamacare and who will obtain little or no relief from Obamacare, too. The underlying problem with the Republican proposal is philosophical. The plan put forth by the alleged pro-free market Republicans implicitly accepts the premise that health care is a right that must be provided by government. but rights are inalienable aspects of our humanity, not gifts from the government. If government can give us rights, they then can take them away from us. Giving government power to enforce a fictitious right to health care justifies government theft and coercion. Thievery and violence do not suddenly become moral when carried out by government. America's health care system will only be fixed when a critical mass of people reject the philosophical and economic fallacies justifying government-run health care. Those of us who know the truth must continue to work to spread the ideas of and grow the movement for liberty. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it. Oh, you hung up.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
There it is. Okay. Wow. Perfect. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. I actually wrote them down this time. Inalienable rights. That and the HSA. I've never really been a big fan of the HSA. We'll start from the top.
I'm sorry, I was playing with the buttons and it kind of messed with me hearing you.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I got 5 points on that. I actually wrote them down, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah, where's that insurance policy you paid for this truck? I'm going to start having to pay for the oil changes. I'll send a bill.
Exactly. That was one of my points.
Okay, point number two. Thank
HSA.
God I haven't paid one penny for Obamacare.
You mean communist care.
And I haven't used any of it either.
True that. Unfortunately, I've paid into the problem. And I don't use it. And that's my other point. Okay. Why should the healthy people pay for the unhealthy people?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, my biggest problem with me being obligated to pay for this garbage is that they don't subscribe to God's medicine. If I could get my herbs and minerals and vitamins covered under communist care, I would be more than happy to pay for it. I would be more than happy to subscribe to their bullshit. Because it wouldn't be bullshit anymore. Well, it wouldn't be as bad. Let's put it that way. If they subscribe to alternative health and they pay for my alternative health practitioners, you know, I would actually go get acupuncture more often. I would actually go get chiropractic care. Well, actually, I think chiropractics are covered. But, you know, since I'm forced to pay for this crap, if they subscribe to the things that I subscribe to, I'd be more willing to pay for it. But they don't.
You don't think they cover your Reiki?
Exactly.
We don't pay for woo-woo science. You don't? What about that cancer stuff? That's big woo-woo.
Exactly. It doesn't it doesn't hardly work.
Doesn't hardly work?
Well, there's some people that supposedly it has helped.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have first-hand knowledge.
They cut out the malnutrition organ, and they survive a few more years. You know, it's like...
Well, yeah, they put them through radiation, which is also not really healthy.
No.
Radiation is probably what caused it in the first place, or at least part of the problem.
It's one of the major contributors to cancer. Poisoning in any form, radiation included, and malnutrition. And malnutrition is the greater of the two. Because proper nutrition, your body can repair the damage.
Our skin is damaged constantly by ultraviolet light. But if you have good nutrition, the skin very quickly repairs that damage.
Well, not only that, but the sun is also providing nutrition while it's damaging you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's this nice little early warning system in your body called a sunburn that says, hey, I'm uncomfortable. You've had too much exposure. Get out of the sun. So what do people do? SPF 50. And then they stay out and get some more exposure and wonder why they got cancer.
Well, yeah, they're getting a double exposure because, one, they're getting too much sun, so they're getting too much ultraviolet rays. Then they're putting this toxic chemical on their skin, which also is a contributor to the cancer. But they don't blame the toxic chemicals that they're putting on their skin. They blame the sun.
So put more toxic chemicals on your skin.
Right. And they say, oh, the sun causes cancer. No. Sun may be one of the contributing causes because you're an idiot. But that's not the reason.
Anyway, so that's 2 points.
HSA.
HSA. What in the world is that?
I've never really been a big fan of it. But then again, I've never been a big fan of modern medicine either. I shouldn't say I've never been. Since I've been an adult, I have not been a fan of modern medicine. Or I should say man's medicine. HSA is basically where you can set up a savings account and you can put money into that savings account through your employer that goes towards paying medical expenses.
Okay.
But the problem with it is if you don't use it, you lose it.
Where does it go?
I don't know exactly. I never really paid that close attention. And it may be different, you know, now than it was whenever I had last looked into it. And it may vary from different policies to different policies. But the medical savings account program, you have to be careful how much you put into it. Because basically, it's not really a savings account. You know, you don't get to, you know, you can only use it for those purposes. And if you don't use it, it's gone.
So basically, it's in an escrow account. But you never get to get it back.
It goes exactly.
It goes to somebody, but you don't ever get to get it back.
Exactly. So it's another scam.
So it's another tax, basically, and tax is theft.
Right. I mean, Ron Paul was encouraging it, but he was encouraging it over the current system.
Right.
Because, I mean, it probably is better than communist care, but nonetheless.
Well, yeah, I mean, how quickly did you have to use the money? In your lifetime or... Or did you have a year to use it?
As long as you're with that insurance company and you're with that company that you're working for, you have to use it within that year.
So the same difference. It's still money thrown down the tube.
Right. So that's why I'm saying you have to be careful how much money you put into this so-called savings account. Because at the end of the year, you lose it. Or at the end of the cycle, the calendar year, whatever, you know, from the start date of the, not the start date of your policy, but the start date of the company policy with the insurance company. So if the insurance company and the the company you work for start their policy, say, in March, and you don't start till August, it expires in March the next year. So, yeah. So I'm not a fan of HSA, but I'm not a fan of medical, modern medical, man's medicine or health care, I mean, a.k.a. sick care. Anyways, so, you know, but that's my problem with HSA. If there was actually, if you could actually get the money back if you didn't use it, I would not have a problem with it. You know, it's everybody's choice to subscribe to whatever they want to subscribe to.
Right.
Which,
if it was a choice.
Right, which is another point. Opting out of communist care. I know two ways now to opt out of communist care. Well, three ways if you count the David Ray way. But after I get done doing my 2 points on that point, I'll let you give the David Ray way. Basically, the David Ray way. David Ray way. David Ray Ray. David Ray Ray. Say that 10 times real fast. The David Ray way.
Yeah, I don't think you can
David
even
Ray
say it
way.
Once fast.
I can say it 2 or 3 times, but that's about it. Anyways, yeah. Okay, so about a year or so ago, my CPA basically told me how to opt out of communist care. If you are below poverty level, you do not qualify to have to pay for communist care. You qualify to receive the benefits, but you don't qualify to have to pay. So if you have enough tax deductions to bring you below the poverty level, you don't got to pay for communist care. You opt out. You're out. You're good. The other way, so, okay, going back to that point, so if you don't have a business and you don't have tax deductions, go get a business. Go make a business. Get tax deductions so you can bring your income down to below poverty level, and then you can opt out.
Woohoo! This is exactly what I do with my business.
Yeah. You do something very similar, but different. You just don't subscribe
not,
to...
Yeah, I'm talking about what I did before.
Oh, right. Okay.
Still in the system.
Right. Well, yeah, so you could have opted out. I can't really opt out right now because I pay child support, and so I'm still obligated to pay for communist care because I pay child support, so I have to cover the children, even though I'm against man's medicine and I'm against all this garbage. That's the reason why my kids are fucked up already, because they've had too many pharmaceuticals their whole lives.
Right.
And that's why I'm against, that's another reason why I'm against it. My ex has doped my kids up on drugs their whole frickin' life, and now they're handicapped. Worse than me.
Right.
But I'm the problem. It's my fault my kids are handicapped. I'm not the one who's pumping drugs down their throats their whole lives. You know? But anyways, that's a whole other point. Anyways, my second point to that point is opting out of communist care. Join a Native American church.
How thoroughly have you researched that?
I have not fully researched it, but, you know, I always say, do your own homework. This is all hearsay evidence, you know. Do your own homework.
Right.
I mean, it may be first-hand knowledge for us, but for you, it's not first-hand knowledge. It's hearsay evidence, and you have to go do your own homework.
Yeah, I missed my opportunity to do that research today.
Yeah, well, that research today was actually for CES.
Yeah,
but that research could have involved that research as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
We have access to two Native American churches right now near our, you know, within, one's within our community and one is just outside of our community. And through both of them, we can learn how to opt out of communist care. Whether or not it works or not, we'll have to see. But we'll be learning. So tell them the David Ray way.
Drop out of the system as much as you can.
Completely. Just get out of the system. Just don't be part of the system. Whether it's medical, New World Order, all of it. Boom. Just don't exist.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's as close as I've gotten to it. I have to say it's not really possible at this point.
But if more people did it, it would be.
Yes. If more people did it, it would be.
That's the problem. We need more people on board. And not so much even that. Okay. Even if they opt to be part of the system, they should not neglect or negligate, whatever the word is, you, discriminate against you because you've opted out. They should actually support you and praise you for opting out. Because
maybe not praise me, but at least accept it.
Right. I mean, you've got the balls to do something about it. You know?
Yeah, I still haven't figured out how to own property and not be in the system.
Well, right. There's challenges to everything. But, I mean, you know, instead of just doing a cop-out bullshit, you don't love it, so you need to leave it type of, you know, crap, you know?
Precisely.
Like,
I left it.
Well, yeah, but they're thinking differently. They're thinking,
yeah, if y'all kind of dropped my golden.
They're thinking, if you're not part of the system and you don't work with the system, then you're a bad person and you need to go to some other country because you don't belong here.
Which, while they don't understand what a country is precisely what I've done. But they think because I'm still on the landmass that they're on, that I must still be part of this country.
Right.
I know where you're trying to go with it.
Yeah, I know. Funny thing happened last night. I wanted to share this real quick.
Cool.
My mom was speeding. And she got pulled over by a cop. She's doing, I think, 12 over.
Doing 37 in a 25 zone?
No, we had just left the 55 zone, and the speed limit dropped down to 35, and hadn't slowed down completely yet because it was still like a highway environment. It's got the look and feel of a highway, but it's not highway speeds anymore.
And usually they do 55, 45, then 35, but okay.
Right. So people are normally driving fairly quickly in this little spot because it's basically between the interstate and a stoplight. Once people get to that stoplight, that's when they start doing 35. You know, because then they're actually in that zone in their brain where it feels like it's 35.
So where, who did she run over?
Huh? Nobody.
Nobody? Oh.
No.
Well, what car did she knock into?
No, she didn't knock into anybody.
Oh. Well, did she do damage to a curb or something?
Nope. She did have a headlight out, though.
Right, but you're telling me she had no victims?
No victims.
Well, okay, then she didn't break any laws.
Correct. She just broke a legal.
She broke a legal.
Right. So, he pulled her over. My mom knew it, too, right? When she seen him in the lights came on, she goes, ah, crap. You know, I'm busted or whatever. I don't know. We pulled over. She turned at the light. We pulled up into the parking lot because there really wasn't no place to park without blocking the road. So she pulled into the parking lot and pulled over and parked. And I thought about calling into the podcast. You remember the podcast we recorded about having a podcast to record the New World Order when they pull us over? I did it. I didn't do it fast enough, but I did it. Okay.
Okay.
Only problem is, it didn't record very well. It all sounded like we were, it sounded like I was recording his dispatcher talking to him over the mic. Charlie Brown style. It was all screwed up. It didn't work.
Oh, I have to invest in some better phones.
Better software. Well, I'll just have to use the software on my phone instead. Because the software on my phone works good. Well, good enough. Better. It works better. So the podcast idea wasn't really a good idea, I guess, you know. But who knows?
Well, no, we need – there's a reason for doing it that way. But, yeah, better recording if you use your software. But go ahead. That's the story.
Right, because they can't delete the podcast where they can delete – you. They can reformat your software.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyways. So when he walked up to the car, he asked for my mom's driver's license. So she went to go get it. Or she pretty much already had it ready, and she was getting it out for him. And I says, I interjected. I says, you do not have a driver's license. You have a government-issued identification card. And he says, yes, a government-issued identification to operate a motor vehicle. So he acknowledged that I knew something.
Right.
He took her information and went back to the car. I didn't say anything else after that. I stayed quiet for a moment, but I was actively thinking to get, you know, to have my mom's back, you know, and I was recording.
Right.
My phone even recorded it, but my phone, because I had that, because I called the podcast, my phone, I have that app on my phone that records my phone calls, so it recorded it as well, but it didn't do a very good job either. But it did pick up that part. It did pick up that part, barely. You could barely hear it where I says, you do not have a driver's license. It's funny. But the phone hadn't finished calling into the podcast yet. It was still doing the auto dial.
Ah.
But it did finally dial in, but the cop came back. And because my mother had a CDL, he let her go. Because, see, he's a local cop. Well, I don't think that was the only reason. I think he probably was maybe a little intimidated by what I said.
Right.
But for the most part, he was probably also a nice guy. He's probably a decent cop. But
no such thing.
Well, to a
there
degree.
Is, but I mean, you know, it's like
right.
They took the job, and the job involves
criminal activity.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyways,
they didn't take the job with that intent, and they're convinced that they're not, but.
But they are.
Yeah.
Right. So he came back, and he goes, I see you have a CDL. And I totally forgot she had a CDL. I wasn't even thinking about that. And, he says, most guys, you know, will be, most officers will be really hard up about, 12 miles over the speed limit or something like that. I don't remember exactly what she was doing, but she was doing, you know, she was doing 40-something, and the speed limit was 35. So, you know, she was slowing down. She just hadn't slowed down enough yet. And since she had a good record, he let her go. But, you know, local cops tend to have more respect for a CDL holder than highway patrol, and DOT.
Right.
Every time I've been pulled over by a local cop having a CDL, they treat me different. They treat me with more respect because they know I'm a professional. Now,
and you bring money into the community.
Perhaps. In fact, one officer that pulled me over actually pulled Kim over because she was driving my truck, and my truck looks suspicious because it's got advertisements all over it. I don't know how that looks suspicious. Maybe because of the bullet holes. But anyways, he pulled us over, and I think this was after Kim got her CDL. No, it wasn't. It was before she got her CDL. We got done with the cleaning job, and I forgot the name of the town now, Southeast Kansas, and we were headed to Kansas City. And we were going to stay with my mom for a little bit, and Kim was going to get work up here, which she never did. So we were heading up here. We were passing through Olathe, I think, and an Olathe cop pulled us over. Kim was really surprised at how I was talking to the officer and got away with it, because I talked to the officer as if he was my employee, not the other way around.
Right.
And I'm also used to communicating with DOT and highway robbery. So I know how to talk to cops. You know, I talk to them with respect, but I also talk to them as if I knew what I was doing. I knew that we didn't do anything wrong and that he was not necessarily in the right for pulling us over because we didn't do anything wrong. Okay. So...
Right.
But he let us go because we didn't do anything wrong, and he respected my CDL and the fact that even though I wasn't driving, he respected us for whatever reason. Once he saw my CDL, his whole attitude changed. And it happened one or two other times. I remember a long time ago I got pulled over in my grandparents' car. It was right before I crossed into the Missouri side on Westport Road here in Kansas City. It's not Westport Road on the Kansas side, but on the Missouri side it is. Anyways, I think it's 42nd Street. But anyways, a female cop pulled me over, she-bear, and once she saw my CDL, you know, her attitude changed. I think I was speeding. I don't remember what I was doing. But I was either speeding or I didn't use the turn signal. It's the only two things I would have done wrong. And she pulled me over. So, but yeah, because I had a CDL, she treated me with respect. She let me go. She let me slide. It's just weird. It's really weird. So, yeah, I thought that was a funny story. I wanted to share that because of my, you know, I thought that my terminology had a little bit to do with it, but maybe the CDL had more to do with it than anything. You know, because I said, you do not have a driver's license. You have a government-issued identification. We talked about that afterwards, too, my mom and I. And I said, and she goes, she said something, well, you know, if he was an asshole, he probably would have, you know, had a problem with that and da-da-da-da-da. You know, she chucked it up to him just being a nice guy, which that was probably one of the qualifications to the environment or the situation. But I said, that's okay. If he had a rebuttal for that, I had a rebuttal for that as well. You are not driving, you are traveling, and you do not have to have a government-issued identification to travel. Not only that, but you are not in commerce. Not only that, but you are not in commerce with the de facto government. Therefore, you do not need the de facto government identification card authorizing you to travel because you are not in commerce with that de facto government.
Yeah, that and a four-leaf clover will probably get you through court nicely.
Right. It would take some fighting, but I'm getting
better
at knowing.
You hear my sarcasm, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things we need to know, and, you know, but, you know. But, see, here's the thing. You know, she has the government-issued identification card. So whether she has the right to travel with or without that, she still has it. Therefore, they have no argument. You can argue the point and let them know that you know what you're talking about and they have no jurisdiction over you.
Well,
they
yeah,
really,
I mean,
they
do
really
have an argument.
Do.
They do have
they
an argument,
do.
But it's not valid. Their
all
argument
right.
is, well, you got the contract, therefore you agreed. It's like, well, no, I got the card because
I was forced to.
I don't want to be beaten up every time you pull me over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I don't, you're going to throw me in jail because I'm operating a motor vehicle without a license. And then if I don't comply, and then you're going to give me fines. You're going to put me in jail. You're going to give me fines. And then if I don't pay those fines, you're going to give me more fines and drag me into court again and throw me in jail again and then give me more fines on top of that. And if I don't pay those, then you're going to seize my property.
And if I don't give it up, you're going to kill me.
Right. Either way, you're going to do harm to me. If I survive all of this, the outcome is disastrous for me if I don't comply.
So it's all a matter of force.
Oh, yeah. Just like communist care. So HSA, we talked about that. We talked about supporting your neighbor's unhealthy habits, but your healthy habits are not being supported. So it's a one-way street. It's not a two-way street.
Now, see,
it's not fair care. It's unfair care.
See, I don't have a problem with you supporting your neighbor's unhealthy habits. What I have is you being forced to support your neighbor's unhealthy habits.
Right. I don't have the option to opt out. I mean, actually, I do. But I have to go learn how to do it. But they don't give you the option to opt out. You have to figure it out and manipulate the system in order to opt out. And then, if you do that, they'll try to come after you for fraudulent criminal activities because you didn't subscribe to their fraudulent criminal activities.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then, let's see, auto insurance, maintenance, we talked about that. Opting out of commie care. Oh, and inalienable rights. Yes. Sure, I'll take that. Yeah. How old was I? 2, 3?
Well, I was 77.
Hello, Rhonda.
77. So I was 3 years old. Dad looks like What's the redhead on what's the show that Fonzie was on?
Happy Days.
Happy Days, yeah. Dad looks kind of like Richie on Happy Days.
Well, at least he didn't look like Laverne.
David said, at least he didn't look like Laverne. Mom laughed and said, true. So, inalienable rights. We don't have rights issued by the government, because the government can take those rights away if we allow them to give us rights. We already
have privileges. Those are privileges. Anything that can be taken away from you is a privilege.
Exactly. It's not really a right.
But
it's like we have the right to travel, but they give us the privilege to drive.
Well, okay, see, now there's this thing, all right? I don't have the right to give a privilege for something I don't have the
right
to control.
You don't have the right to give someone the privilege that they already have the right to do.
Well, okay, let me, I stated it correctly. I don't have the right to give a privilege for something I don't have the right to give a privilege to. So, I might have the right to give somebody the privilege of coming onto this piece of land. But I do not have the right to give the privilege to people to go on Glenn's land.
Right, like the trick.
Right, the trick was having me trespass on a neighbor's land that we knew was posted no trespassing. In his defense, though, there was no trespassing sign on that piece of fence. But we know from coming around front, they did not want trespassers.
Right, and we knew by the barbed wire fence that that was not our property.
Yeah. And so when it became clear to me that he was no longer looking for his dog, that he was there spying around to see what he could see, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm out of here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't that wise, but there was no negative repercussions.
Well, you stop at the gate and you ask permission.
Well, there's nobody there to ask permission. You have to chuck them down.
And there are from time to time, but all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently somebody was treasure hunting on that other piece of property because the trick took me up in the woods to look for this so-called artifact that indicates the location of the so-called treasure. And while looking for this artifact that either one was never there or two had been removed, or three, covered up. While looking for this thing, we found other holes being dug on that property where people were looking for treasure there as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
I know it wasn't a trick. It had to have been the people who own the property or the people that are allowed to go on that property, or somebody else for that matter. But I know Dietrich ain't got the balls to do that. He may be an idiot, but I don't think he's got the, I don't think he's that stupid. Then again,
he's a little dense.
Speaking of which, we need to go there next time I'm in town.
Yeah. I'm beginning to think more and more that the, selling me a piece of that land might be highly beneficial.
I'll sell you 1/100th of a share.
There you go.
You want 1/100th of a share of the property down there? That'll just cost us about $100, $200 to do the paperwork. Yep. So, yeah, anybody want 1% of my share, which would be actually more like a little bit less than 1/100th of the share of the whole property. So it would be more like, I don't know. Anyways, it would be just a hair less than 1/100th of
the
share.
I'm pretty sure I went through it thoroughly the first time, but I'll go through it again. I'm very sure that a share is 1/13th. I know you say
I'm
otherwise.
I'm very sure that it's 1/9th.
Well, Okay, so
no,
somewhere
not one
between
night, one eleventh. I'm sorry, 1/11.
So somewhere between 1/11 and 1/13. Sometime
we'll just call it 1/12 to be neutral. How about that?
We'll say that we don't know, or I'll say I don't know.
Right.
All right.
I'm.
All right. Anyway, it's 1/100th of one of those shares.
Right.
So basically what you're going to end up doing is multiplying everybody's share by 100, and you're going to be selling single shares.
Right. So actually it'd be 1/1,000th of a share in the whole property. Can you imagine 1,000 people owning a share of that property?
Right, but you can only do that 100 times. And then you'd be
well,
out.
Yeah, but if I buy somebody out, then I could sell those off at 1/10 share apiece also.
You could actually probably sell them off pretty cheap and get your money back to be able to do it.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, okay, here's my
idea.
And
all
idea.
These people start showing up, and it's like, what are you doing?
Well, I'm a shareholder.
I'm a shareholder. I'm parking my camper on the land. You can't do that. I didn't authorize this sale.
Well, there's, I have a deed.
Yeah, I have a deed.
Yep. So I can do that 10 times, or I can do that 100 times. I do that 10 times, I'll make my money back. I'll recoup all my losses. Actually, no, I'd take it back. I'd have to do it probably 15 times to recoup my losses.
And it costs some poor soul $1,200 to do it.
I'd just charge them $1,000. And it costs
right.
basically $200 to do the paperwork, so I'd only make $100 or $800 or $750.
Oh, so you'd pay the paperwork. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I'd pay the paperwork. I'd pay for all of it because I would know that I only got to sell 15% of my 10% or my 9%, all I have to do is sell 15% of my 9%, and I got my money back.
Right.
If I sell 100% of my 9%, then I got my money back times, I don't know, 7.
Well, I know your argument is some of the original investors only had half shares.
Right. There was 13 shareholders, but 4 of them had half shares.
Okay. I'll have to look at it again. I didn't see any evidence of that.
Yeah.
But if there was 4 of them that had half shares, that's the same
but
as that would drop it down to 11 shares.
Right, but there's still a half of a share missing in that calculation. And I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
It's weird. Maybe the original owner still owns a half a share.
Mm.
By default, because it's a screwed up math.
Well, you know what? We got another friend in the area who sold land to two other friends, and he, per his property description, he failed to sell 14 feet. 14 feet wide by 1,320 feet in the other direction.
Which is a road.
It's wide enough to be a road, but it's, you know, it's, yeah. So it's there, but it's not there. 'Cause
right.
He thought he sold the whole land, but his description was off by 14 feet.
Nice. Well, it's kind of like Lenny was telling me earlier. He knows a guy who, in Manhattan, he owns, I guess it's a friend or relative or something, but anyways, he owns one square city block in Manhattan, or he owned one, previously owned one, you know, full city block in Manhattan.
Okay.
He built houses there, but he only sold the land in which the houses sit on. He still owns, quote unquote, the backyards.
Yeah. That could be a liability issue, though.
Well,
when some kid goes into his backyard and gets hurt, and the parents discover that they don't own it.
Well, here's the thing. They don't actually have access to their backyards.
Okay.
He uses the backyards to grow food that he sells.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Yeah.
But
cool. He calls it the backyards.
Yeah. Well, because it's behind the houses.
Right. He's basically growing some, I learned the story because Lenny asked how the farm was doing, and I told him that we were growing blackberries, and he asked me what kind, and I told him, I didn't know exactly what kind, but I told him that I had some thornless blackberries.
These are Pine Arc Freedom blackberries.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just told him Primacanes.
Yeah, they're Primacanes.
So, and I told him that I had some thornless blackberries I was going to grow up here, and you had some thornless blackberries you were growing down there. I'm sure they're not the same kind. This one is an Arapaho thornless.
Yeah, not the same.
Huh?
Not the same.
Right. So those are the kind of blackberries I'm going to be growing up here. So at least we don't have to worry about cross-pollination.
Now, are they primacane?
Don't know. I just know they're thornless.
And you don't have to worry about cross-pollination when they distribute themselves via the roots.
Okay.
Roots and cuttings don't have to worry about pollination.
Okay, I was thinking they had flowers.
Well, they do, and they have seeds. And if they redistribute by those seeds, then you have to worry about crossbreeding.
Right.
So, like, if you get a hold of those honey locusts that are thornless, we can't let the seeds grow because we got too many honey locusts around here that have thorns, and they'll crossbreed, and the offspring will, some of them will have thorns.
Right, well, we'll only want the ones that we plant anyways because if we have new ones coming up, they'll be in the way.
Right.
But, yeah, we also don't want thorns. But we'll know right away whether or not it's a thornless or not because they produce thorns pretty
yeah,
much right
away.
Away.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, it might be the, well, let's see. Because it could they produce little thorns and they consider that thornless because they won't harm anything.
Well, that'll be fine, I think.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see what they call thornless. And we might contact them right away and say, you know, these thornless honey locusts that you sold us, they have thorns. They go, oh, yeah, but they don't produce the big ones on the trunk. Like, okay. But, you know.
They just don't produce big ones at all. They may be.
They don't, yeah.
They may hurt you, but they won't hurt your tires, per se.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing. I mean, even if they don't produce them on the trunk, when the limbs up on top of the tree die and they have thorns on them, they become brittle and they break and they fall down to the ground. And then they have these big, long thorns coming off every branch, sticking every which way. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Danger, danger.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yes. So, I planted the kiwi today. Since I'm not
talking
as...
to which, I walked into the kitchen for the first time since you left today.
And it's clean.
And there's two kiwis in there.
Yeah. Eat them. If they're not too soft.
If they haven't gone mushy.
All right. But if they have, you can give them the Cleopatra. She likes them.
And she'll poop them out.
Chocolate won't eat them, but I know Cleo likes them.
Oh, yeah, I had to pick up Sidewinder today.
Is she getting worse?
Well, no, it's just the goats are up front.
And she got left behind.
And I needed to put them away. And they dutifully went down the center track and headed home. Meanwhile, she's hobbling along, and she hadn't even gotten to the mouth of the pathway going down the middle by the time I found by the kitchen. It's like, oh, God. I have to wait an hour for her to even show up. So I went back to catch her, and she, of course, she tried to run away from me. And, of course, she flopped over twice in the process. And
so she caught her.
So I picked her up the second time rather than getting her to, you know, go home. All right. And that was fine. Except she was hot and sweaty.
Oh, yeah. It's getting that time of year.
Yeah, she was hot and sweaty, and she was sweating all over me. You know.
Maybe it's time to call her.
Yeah.
Only problem is we just have to put her down. We wouldn't be able to sell her or anything.
Well, we might talk to some friends and say, hey, you want roast goat?
Yeah, I guess her meat would still be okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, she wouldn't be good for a sacrifice because, you know, it's not supposed to have any blemishes and such, but, you know, she might be all right for eating. It's not like she has cancer. It's more like, you know, she got
a neurological
when she was young. Yeah, if it is neurological and it's due to deficiencies, that might be a problem. But since we'll be eating other things, we can make up for it. But, you know, if we only ate neurologically deficient animals, it might result in us having neurological problems.
True that.
So.
That's why we don't want to eat caged animals.
Yeah, and you don't really want to eat chicken wings and legs when they go on sale.
Right.
Because the Federal Drug and Food and Drug Agency says it's okay for them to sell you cancer-riddled chickens as long as they remove all the bad parts. As if the malnutrition that caused the cancer won't be in the chicken legs or chicken wings.
Right. Or there may be an undetectable amount of cancer in the wings and legs. But because it's below a certain threshold, it's okay for us to eat it.
Yeah. And I'm sure those cancer-riddled chicken breasts are probably okay to grind up in order to make
dog
chicken patties out of.
Well, probably dog food. It's probably where it ends up. Probably ends up in the dog and cat food. So we're feeding that garbage to our animals.
Right. Yeah, I'm starting to get sick to my stomach.
Well, fortunately,
hey, we're at the 3 hour mark.
3 hour mark. All right. So, tune in next time at 8 p.m. Central, Sunday evening, at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons.
Wait, what? What? No, sometimes we talk about that, too.
Yeah. You can call us at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time, meaning in the spring and summer, or 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, meaning fall and winter, every Sunday at 563-999-2010. Once again, that's 563-999-2010. Extension 256012. Again, that is extension 256012. And if you have T-Mobile like I do and you cannot call the podcast, download a phone app. Yeah, and you might even be able to use Wi-Fi calling. That might work too. But download a phone app like, what was it, Text Now.
Yeah, Text Now. There's actually several out there. Hold on, I got a nice little list of ones I was going to look at. I think Hello Talk.
Hello Talk.
Flip, F-L-Y-P. Flight. Is an app. Well, Flip.
I know, I'm just playing.
Okay. And then Burner.
How do you spell that?
B-U-R-N-E-R, Burner.
Okay.
It has actually an interesting little clip about itself. Let's see if I can pull it up quickly enough to talk about it.
And what's the picture of the app? Because that's a common name.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up so I can even see that.
All right, well, there's two other options, too. Like, my grandparents have a landline that has unlimited long distance. I used their landline to call the podcast, and it didn't say it was going to charge me. So I'm assuming it's not going to cost anything. I have to look
right.
at the bill
so,
whenever it
so
comes
your
in.
Grandparents get this astronomical bill for every Sunday that you call in.
Well, it's not astronomical. It's only a penny a minute, which is about $100 a year. So 1 month would be roughly $10.
You're assuming that their company will do the same as your company.
True that.
It might be a dollar a minute with them.
That would suck.
That would suck. And that'd be a lawsuit, class action trial.
Right, because they did not give me a warning.
Yep. Well, we shouldn't have to warn you. It was part of the contract.
I wasn't aware of this contract. You said we have unlimited long distance, right?
I think so, because it's Time Warner Cable.
Time Warner Cable. She said she thinks so. All right. Anyways, another option might be Magic Jack. Joe Mama gave me a Magic Jack card device thingy.
Yeah,
and,
you got unlimited data.
Right. So I'm gonna probably try that next week. I was trying Text Now this time, and the net failed on me. So my backup was to grab the landline and try it.
And Text Now is a bit gravelly. You'll see when you listen to the repeat. And actually, my friend who had Magic Jack, his Magic Jack phone is about the same as what Text Now did.
Okay, so the quality won't be as good because you're using an internet.
It'll depend on your bandwidth.
Right.
And you were using a cell phone's bandwidth, so actually the Magic Jack probably comes through better now.
True. Well, I don't know. My grandparents' bandwidth is probably about as good as my T-Mobile bandwidth.
That's hard to believe.
Well, I don't know. Unless it's Time Warner. Hang on. Is the Internet Time Warner also?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the Internet's Time Warner also. But it's Wi-Fi.
They have a Wi-Fi.
I know. I'm using a Wi-Fi hookup on the Time Warner cable Internet. So, if I plugged my phone, my computer into the Ethernet or Cat5 and then do the Magic Jack, it'll probably be really smooth.
There you go.
I'll have to plug
the Magic Jack into their computer.
They don't have, she doesn't really have a computer anymore.
Ah.
I mean, it's here, but it's not operational. I'd have to do some IT work.
Never mind. I'm not going to ask that question.
But there is an Ethernet. There is three more Ethernet jacks on the back of the router, so I could plug directly into the router, I'm sure. Don't know. I'll have to try that next time and give it a try, give it a test. So now that I'm not so much worried about my job, I went ahead and planted my kiwis. Because I'll probably be here long enough to babysit them. I was going to give all the food that I was going to plant, well, not all of it. I was going to give most of the food that I was going to plant to the neighbor lady and let her grow them because I knew she would be here to babysit them. Well, I just worked on compost, but now I think I'll be here a little longer than I was thinking the last 2 days. I was tripping the last few days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know how you trip.
Oh, I know. I'm a nervous wreck. Insano Kano. Kano the Insano.
You're Tryptopheric.
I'm Tryptopheric. Yeah, Lenny liked Kano the Insano. He thought that was a good name for me. Hey, that's what I should change my online premise as. Change it from Kano Trump to Kano the Insano.
Make it your game character's name.
Kano the Insano! Well, it's better than Kano the Mel Gigolo.
Actually, I like the cop's reaction to that.
I know.
All right.
My mom started to shake her head no and then shook her head yes. She just didn't know what to say about that one. She's like, no.
All right. We've already said goodbye to the program, suggested that people get a phone app that, you know, gives them another phone number.
Oh, and, brother, how art thou? Something like that. So, okay, you were talking about the other app. What was it called? Burn.
Burner.
Burner.
Burner, as in a burner phone.
Okay, and what's the picture? What's the icon?
I wasn't able to pull it up. I can't get Google Play to work right now. So.
Oh, okay. So Google Play it.
Yeah, Google Play it. Google Play, Flip, Text Now. Can you pull up Text Now? These other phone apps will pop up as similar apps.
There you go.
I haven't tested any of them. So anything that shows up as a similar app to Text Now, check it out and let us know what your favorite is.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, and if you want a good phone recorder or a good recorder, my favorite, David's got one he constantly has on his phone. But the one I like is Recorder 4-in-1, and it's got kind of like a Uno look to it. It's got these four different colors of four different recording devices, and it's got the word REC in the middle in purple.
You'll have to drop me a link on Dropbox so that I can, or text me a link so that I can.
I'll just screenshot it to you.
Yeah, just go to Google Play, hit the share button, and message it over.
Oh, I guess I could do that, huh?
That would be a lot you know, more direct.
I didn't know you could do that. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So,
thank
I will
you.
Do that.
All
no,
right.
Thank you.
Good night, folks.
Yes, and you can find all of our podcasts at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, as well as the call-in information. Please join us every Sunday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time or 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
Night all.
Good night.